Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Making news right around the world and locally. Now, how's this? Do you remember that movie? Was it Leonardo DiCaprio
that was in Catch Me If You Can? It's a good flick. Very good flick.
Right. Well, this has happened in Sydney.
What?
A doctor has been found out. He's been caught. A doctor, he's of Indian extraction. He stole someone's identity and flew into the country 11 years ago. Now, he's been moonlighting as a doctor for 11 years, and he's not a doctor.
Really?
And he's worked at the major hospitals in New South Wales, throughout New South Wales. He shifted around
just
a bit.
Just go home and have a Panadol and have a lie down. Just give it a, just have the day off.
That cancer you've got, have a Panadol and you'll be right. Yeah. So, and he got caught because this week, no, this is terrible. This week,
he had his own clinic and all that?
No, he worked in hospitals and travelled. If you read the list, he's been to a lot of hospitals.
Gee, you'd get away with it at a little clinic where you go in there with a sore leg or a sore arm or a sore throat.
Well, he didn't detect a broken bone, apparently. Someone came in with a broken leg and he said, you'll be right, you'll play Saturday. and someone working with him thought, hang on, this isn't right.
This is not right.
But I've now got to go back through 11 years of records, would you believe? So if you're a patient that saw this fella.
What about his assistants and stuff like that? He must be a very good liar.
He gets on Google a bit.
Dr.
When you go in and see him, he says, hang on a minute. And he just gets on. I don't know how he's on. But to be fair, you know, I mean, you and I have been moonlighting as radio people.
We're in about year five. So we are. Keep it up for a couple of
years. We can't point the finger, really.
No, I know.
No.
That's sort of good and bad news that we found him.
Glad they found him after 11 years. Didn't take long. Yeah.
No, we're bulletproof. Yeah.
Now, what else is making news, right?
Oh, some good news. I said last week when I was over in Leek and ran into a bloke from Wyala, a property developer, said Wyala is struggling and they're battling through, but they're gonna get through. Well, they've got two buyers at the moment that are keen on taking over steelmaker Arium, which we know that employs over a couple of thousand people. It's a big deal for the state and for the Iron Triangle and more so Wyala. So at the moment, they're working out, who's gonna buy it.
And so might be a bidding war.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're not getting overconfident at the moment. But the fact that there's two people in the hunt for it is fantastic news. So fingers crossed, we can start having a few wins in this state. So good luck to Wyala and good luck to Arium and good luck to the new buyer who will come in. And they won't come in with a year or two's plan. They'll come in for a 5 or 10 year plan with hopefully plenty of cash and plenty of support. So
all right.
Bit of good news there, hopefully.
Yeah, no, too right. Hey, Roo, the second test. There's been some real argy-bargy here. Now, India has won the test and beaten us by 70-odd runs, so too good. But this has turned very, very ugly. I've just seen the pictures this morning, and it's not the sort of thing you want to see on a test match field, to be honest, on an oval. It's umpires had to come in and separate players.
Well, that a blue.
It's awful. It's not good. Not the gentleman's game we're accustomed to. Let's first of all hear from Indian captain Virat Kohli.
There's a line that you don't cross on the cricket field. I don't want to mention the word, but it falls in that bracket. So I would never do something like that on the cricket field.
Now, when he says the word, he's calling Steve Smith a cheat, right? Now, the worst thing about this is Smith's kind of admitted it. He's actually apologised.
Turned around and said, what do you reckon? And that was a bit of a brain fade on my behalf and, shouldn't have done that.
So what's happened?
At least he's owned up.
Yeah.
On the
surface, some people may not think
tell us what he did.
He's done much, but it's not in the spirit of the game and it is against the rules. So with this review system that they now have in cricket, all right?
Third umpire.
Yeah, I think you can look down the wicket and look at the other batsman and he can say, actually, I think it's worth having a crack. I don't think you are LBW. Have a go. What Steve Smith has been doing is looking up into the grandstand where his team coach or manager or someone can watch the replays on the TV.
Right, I get a bit of a better opinion.
Yeah, and then send a signal.
Right.
Now, I wasn't actually aware of this, but that is against the rules. And he's admitted doing it, and he's saying, yes, I shouldn't have done it.
Has he done it before?
Yeah.
He's done it before?
Yeah. But if you see, and you'll see this on the news tonight, on the TV channels, the players out on the pitch, this is hatred. It's not good at all.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Not good for Australia, not good for Steve Smith.
Expect it on a football oval. Bit of push and shove. It's a physical game. When I see test cricket umpires coming in between players and holding them apart. That's a bit crazy.
There's so much tension between the two countries too, and there's so much riding on this. India haven't been beaten over there for how long, and they got knocked off in the first test. So it's and looked like losing the second one, but not good, Steve Smith.
What I've always known about cricket, just as an armchair critic, is play as hard as you can, and at the end of the day's play, we have a beer. And those days are gone, I reckon. It's just, it's looking ugly.
Yeah, well, that's stupid. You got to, I think you're exactly right, Ditch. You play as hard as you can, but you get on with it afterwards. Not good, Steve Smith, is it?
No.
But at least he owned up. And, it's not like he hit it and got caught behind, I suppose, and didn't walk. But it's still in the bad category.
Yep. All right. That's what's making news right around the world.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, International Women's Day today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this in depth a little bit later on with Mel and Alice and the ladies here that we work with, the women that we work with. Mm. Interestingly, the ABC's come under fire today. What they've done is there'll be no men on air. So presenting their news bulletins or 7:30 report or any of those shows today, it's all females, all women.
Right.
They're making their little stand.
For the day.
Yeah, just for today, okay. For International Women's Day. Okay. Our sister station, Hit 107's done the same thing. So all the men have been told to have the day off.
Right.
So no men on air today there.
Wonder how they'll go.
Yeah.
They might thrive.
Just something different. There's a strike today at childcare centres right around the nation. Because it's a female-dominant workforce, and they're saying
kids are at childcare today.
Yeah, it's not every childcare centre, but a lot of them are. They're saying they want better pay.
Better pay.
Very lowly paid.
Well, I still find it amazing that there is a pay difference. I really do. I'm staggered by that. They say it's 16% now.
Yeah.
The same job.
Yeah.
And it's been like that similar, really, for the last 20 years.
Yep.
No, man, I would have thought we were past that there.
Yeah, I know. I'm absolutely amazed. And you know what? When people say, why do you have International Women's Day? Well, it's probably because of things like that.
Well, that's...
I'm staggered by that.
That's probably number one. I mean, that or I guess domestic violence is probably right up
that's
there.
That's the
as
other
well,
key issue.
When you listen to the police. So,
yeah, most definitely.
We'll talk to the girls later on.
Yeah, but here's something I didn't know. I just Googled International Women's Day, and I thought it was a recent thing. It's on March 8th every year.
Mm.
When do you reckon the first International Women's Day was?
Well, I did what you did, Dix, way back in 1909.
1909. Can you believe that? It's been around ever since then. So they've been crying out for a voice since then, Roo. And finally,
I'd like to think things have improved, but obviously not fast enough.
No. But things we're going to talk about later on, things like quotas, does that, and this is a serious question.
Quotas in
things like
jobs.
Politics and things like that, does that help the women's cause?
Well, the police force wanted 50%, didn't
it? Yep. So they're the sorts of things that, you know, still come up from time to time. Does it help the women's cause or does it set them back? It's an interesting debate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know Mel, the button pusher, will have her views on that. We'll get to it a little bit later on this morning.
Triple M.
This time every week on a Wednesday, Roo, we talk to Pete Hellyer.
Pete,
good morning.
Morning, guys, and happy International Women's Day.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, it is a special day, isn't
Thanks
it, Pete?
For that, Pete. Yeah.
It's going off. It's going off.
What
guys.
Does it mean to you, Peter?
Well, it means a chance to reflect and celebrate women. I was hoping Triple M would follow the ABC's suit and basically kick all the men off air so we could actually hit the golf course and have a relaxing morning.
Look, we thought about it. We thought about it, Pete, and we looked around the office yesterday and there are no women working here. So we had to turn up.
That had no one to replace us.
that might be part of a bigger point, I think.
Yeah, I know.
But I thought I might celebrate International Women's Day with you guys by just going through some of the achievements and the inventions of women and then listing my top five women of all time.
Good idea, Pete.
Yep.
So some of the inventions and discoveries of women I wasn't aware of. This is all true. This is all true. They actually discovered, women discovered a Dutch woman by the name of Inga Lehmann, no relation to Boof, I believe, discovered the Earth's inner core. That's not a bad discovery.
How did she do that?
I have no bloody idea. Right. She's a lot smarter than I was. If she hadn't have discovered the Earth's inner core, we wouldn't have had the 2003 movie The Core, starring Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank.
There you go. That's very important.
In our top five movies of all time.
Yeah.
They also discovered solar heating, which is amazing. Sadly, to this day, men and women still can't agree on room temperature.
So it was women that discovered that the sun was hot, was it?
Oh, yeah. No,
we hadn't worked it out.
Yeah, we've been trying to fly into it for years. But windscreen wipers, underwater telescopes, the dishwasher, and how's this? Radio guidance devices for torpedoes.
Hell.
God, they're women, clever girls, ain't they?
I know. Well, people say women have no sense of direction. Well, they do. They do. So I want to get to my top five women of all time.
Right.
Okay. Number five, Joan of Arc, of course, was in charge of an army. She saved the people, died a hero, all whilst her husband was just off building an ark. So good on her. I'm not sure if her husband was. No, or maybe I got mine.
No, wires probably was.
Number four is Harper Lee, wrote one of my favourite books growing up, which is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Only book I've ever read.
Well, and Frankie Fisher's Sonic Suitcase, I imagine, too.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I forgot. The number one bestseller in Dybbuk's at the moment.
Yeah, well done, Frankie.
Anyone that can make up a story with a fella called Atticus in it is clever.
Exactly.
Where'd she pluck that name from?
Atticus Finch, great name. Boo Radley, another great
Boo
name.
Boo Radley.
For the kids listening, To Kill a Mockingbird is not a Hunger Games sequel. We should point that out.
No, that's right.
Where are you up to?
I got number three, Magda Zabanski. She is just one of the funniest people I've ever known, and she's hilarious and brave and talented, and she wears a netball bib and a rash better than anybody.
Yeah, when she had pash rash in Kath and Kim, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen. I completely agree. Number four, Beyonce paved the way for female empowerment over the last decade or so. Even if her and Emma Watson don't completely agree on what feminism is, I'm not sure if you... Did you see the Emma Watson being slammed this week?
It's a bit stiff.
A bit stiff. This is what I don't quite understand about feminism. Like, feminism started by women burning their bras in the 60s. And then, like, 50 years later, poor Emma Watson gets torched for not wearing one. I mean, where's the consistency?
That's right.
And number five is I'm going with a controversial one. A woman by the name of Helen Hallier, my mum.
You crawler.
Yeah, I say the old goat, the greatest of all time. That's right. I'm calling it. My mum's the Nathan Lyon of mums.
Year of the goat.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks for helping us celebrate International Women's Day.
No, why don't all the women? Like, you know, it means something different for everyone, but I think if we all celebrate women and what they mean to us, then we're on the right track.
Good on you, Pete. Pete Hellier, and we'll talk again next week.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, shocking story in North Queensland, central Queensland, I think. Overnight, a young lady, a backpacker, 22-year-old from Liverpool in England, has wandered into a petrol station in a very bad way.
She was very upset. She was crying and she was shaking really badly. She was shaking and she was very pale. Yeah, and she had two black eyes and marks on her neck. I'm just glad that they've got him and that she hopefully will be okay.
Now, Rue, this is on the back of, as we've already mentioned, now we know what happened to Peter Falconio out in the outback. Here in South Australia, Salt Creek, we had the two young girls that were terrorised there. We had one in Murray Bridge just a few weeks ago. And now this one in Queensland. These stories are terrible. So this is about a young backpacker held against her will. Let's find out more. Channel 9's reporter there this morning in Roma in Queensland, Rob Morrison. Rob, good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Good. What have we learned? What's the story with this?
Well, the more details that we're learning about this, the more and more it's starting to sound like a horror movie. The woman that you just played there, her name is Beverly Page, and she actually owns and runs a roadhouse in the tiny town of Mitchell, which is here in Western Queensland. Now, on Sunday, this 22-year-old backpacker from England actually walked into her petrol station with cuts and bruises all over her face, saying she couldn't pay for fuel. Now, Beverly knew at that point that something was seriously up, so she followed the car later on, alerted police, who pulled the car over on the Warrego Highway as it was making its way out to the outback. Now, when police caught up with them, they obviously saw the state that this woman was in, and it wasn't long before they arrested a 22-year-old man who was actually hiding in the back of an alcove there underneath the bed, we believe. Now, he's obviously faced court on a string of charges now, which has been adjourned to later in May. But we have also learnt that this pair met at an Australia Day party in Cairns. They actually struck up a bit of a relationship and moved into temporary accommodation initially. But then the relationship soured, and it's believed that's when this man actually became this woman's captor, repeatedly raping, allegedly, obviously, beating and strangling her between the dates of, we believe, the 3rd of February and the 5th of March. That happened at a house in Cairns as well as in the car.
So they were a couple before the last month or so, effectively. Or is that right?
Yeah, that's what we do understand. They'd met at that party on Australia Day and struck up a relationship and then moved into some sort of temporary accommodation. We do understand one of those might have actually been a caravan park.
Mm. So can I ascertain that it's obviously turned sour? What I'm trying to work out is how he has made the mistake of letting her go into the petrol station
and attempt
to pay for the petrol. Or I take. I mean, yeah, have you been able to...
Why would he go and do it?
Yeah, exactly.
And keep her in the car.
Yeah, well, talking with Beverly, she was saying that the woman at that time was saying, my ex-boyfriend has the money, I can't pay for this car. And we have also spoken with senior detectives who said this woman was very fearful if she did try and leave the situation that she was in. Mm. She was afraid what this man may be capable of or what he may then do to her. So it's obviously a situation that she believes she cannot leave for whatever reason. Those details will obviously come out in the next little while. But no, she was fearing for her life and she believes she couldn't leave this situation.
So prior to this happening, no one was even looking for this girl because, you know, she wasn't reported missing or anything. People just thought she was in a comfortable relationship, I presume.
And I guess that's what could make this situation so terrifying because, one, yes, when you are backpacking, you know, people perhaps back home in Liverpool where she is from may have expected that they're not going to hear from her. She actually had been out here since 2015. So she has been here for a while. Obviously, we don't know if it was a regular for her not to contact her family in that time. But when people do go backpacking, sometimes they don't check in for a while. And that could have been the situation here. So really, this woman appears to not have anybody that she could have turned to while she was making her way through country Queensland.
All right, good on you, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us. Rob Morrison, who's on the Today Show as a reporter on Channel 9. Very scary story, Ru.
Oh, it's not good. I mean, you wouldn't want your kids to go backpacking on their own, would you, at all? But even, we've had situations where even the couple together can get into trouble. It's just not good.
Ru, both of my kids have done Kentucky tours, and I reckon one day yours will probably come to you and say, Dad, I've finished year 12. I want to go to Europe for a year, a gap year. You know, they meet kids. They join these Kentucky tours. You all of a sudden overnight meet 50 people from all over the world you've never ever met before. You know nothing about them, and you have to shack up with them. You're put into rooms together. You room with people you don't know. It's a big unknown. It really is. And
it is
and
a
it's
recipe
worrying.
For a bit of a disaster, isn't it, really?
Can be, yeah.
Especially if you're that type of person you want to get in with 50 other people just to try and get up to no good.
And, you know,
it's
you're
a good
young
place
kids,
to get to,
yeah, free spirit, you're young, and you want to have fun and you want to trust everybody, but how do you know? You just don't know.
You're taking a risk.
Yep, no doubt about it. Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. I only have time for one breakfast show. Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
The Governor-General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Quite nervous this morning, Ru. He's here in the studio. Big Mal.
Well, it's very nice to be here. I'm en route, of course, to Perth to try and help Barney get across the line for another term. Colin Barnett.
Yes.
He's a great little guy.
See, Pauline's made big inroads over there.
Well, Pauline's over there, of course, throwing her weight around. She's really enjoying the second coming, isn't she,
yes,
Pauline?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hey, just while we're talking about Pauline, what do you think about her comments during the week? She said that, you know, you need to be a bit more like Vladimir as a leader.
Well, this is impossible, this kind of thing. I mean, she's got a direct line to him, and I have to pick up my advisors have said so because she's got me by the political cojones in the Senate, and she's pulling hard, Ru.
She's pulling hard.
But I mean, really and truly, Pauline, look at the way she dresses. She's like a cougar from Parkside, isn't she? She loves a big, bold print, bit of hibiscus.
Good morning to the ladies, the ladies in Parkside. Good
morning. Those girls down there wear it as a badge of honour, don't you worry. And hello to the Cougars in Prospect as well. I won't leave you out. But I mean, what does she want from me? Be more like Vladimir Putin. Shirts off, is it? Or wrestle a tiger, shoot down a plane?
Gun tout.
Kill my political enemies?
poison.
Not
them.
A bad idea.
Can we shoot Paul Aide?
Look at my advisors waving his hands furiously out there. No, no, we can't. We can't kill
Paul.
She's also
a medical expert as well. She's telling people to go and do their own assessments on the internet about vaccinations.
Well, really and truly, this is flat earth stuff, isn't it? Get your baby vaccinated. I mean, who wants to see whooping cough and polio come back?
No.
Really, Pauline? Mm. I mean, she's an imbecile.
Need to stick a needle in her. And,
Now, you've been having any fun. Did you go to the Mardi Gras, what was it, last weekend?
It was Sunday, yes. Well, of course, people were criticising me for not appearing, but I was there. Oh. So I was incognito. For the first time, the Liberal Party had a float in the LGBQTR. The gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. That's right. We themed it Toy Story at the behest of Christopher Pine. He was Woody. In more than one way, too.
Oh, no.
Michaela Cash was Jesse the Cowgirl. Who else was there? Kelly O'Dwyer was Buzz Lightyear with that lantern jaw of hers. And I was Stinky Pete, the prospector. We all had a wonderful time. We all got off chops and had a great time. I was in Stonewall afterwards dancing away to the Communards. Remember that?
Yes.
Don't leave me this way. I can't exist without your kiss. Don't leave me. All together now. Whoa, baby. I love a sing-along. I've really got my song on this morning.
What time did you pull up stumps?
I didn't get to bed until Tuesday afternoon. I was in tears Wednesday morning.
You would have been.
Right, can I get back, just before you, we need a bit of policy stuff, as I'm sorry to get back into the boring stuff of running the joint, but support's dwindling for the old cut to penalty rates. That wasn't popular.
Well, it is. Well, Tits Shorten's really up and about with this one, isn't he? He's quite aroused. He thinks he's going to close in on me with a pincer movement in Parliament. But really and truly, we need to cut penalty rates for the good of business. Have you ever gone into a shop or a hotel or a McDonald's drive-thru on a Sunday and thought that the munter behind the counter deserves more money? Have you ever thought that to yourself? Have you ever seen the kid hot with acne behind the window waiting for your chicken McNuggets and thought, why don't we give him more money, that little guy? I mean, really and truly, how are we going to crush the poor if we keep throwing penalty rates and loading and holidays at them?
No, you make a good point.
You make a good point.
Yeah.
We've got to crush them.
Right.
And the unions.
Yeah, look, enjoy your time in Adelaide and time in Perth. Go over and help Colin over there, as you
Well,
said.
Before I go to help Colin, I'll be going down to the Gardens of Unearthly Delights. Mm. I'll be enjoying some roasted corn and a couple of shows down there. Might say a burlesque lady, swallow a sword, I don't know. It's all happening down there, isn't it? It's terrific time.
Hey, there's one show you need to catch. Lawrence Mooney's in town.
Well, I heard he does a very average impersonation of me, and he's a five-star jerk. So I'll be leaving that one off the bucket list. And I just want to say the Triple M rocks the Garden of Unearthly Delights.
Good on you, big man.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
On Ruin Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, Jacko, thank God you're here. I have to sit and listen to Roo and Tex talk about the Crows and Crow Mania and, oh, aren't we great? And we're going to play finals. I listen to them rave on all the time. Thank God you're here.
No, it's good to be here, mate, and hopefully we can balance that out a little bit.
Yeah,
and,
good man.
Throw Mick Malloy into that category as well, probably.
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about Richmond this week. Jacko, a lot of people talking about the form at the moment, but no cause for alarm, is there? I mean, to me, I reckon on the weekend you played a heck of a lot of new young kids, and surely that's what it's all about.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, Dits. I mean, I think we would be like to be going a little bit better than what we are at the moment. I think we probably haven't put it together for four quarters again, which was one of our issues last year and the previous year. But it is only the second game in the preseason, so there's no alarm bells yet.
Nah.
And you know, we're developing, we're building. We obviously want a strong showing this week. It was pretty windy down there at Mount Gambier on the weekend, so hopefully this week it's probably not going to be much different down at Nullunga. But
Windy hill.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to say about that. It's going to be nice and windy again at Nullunga, but you know, we've just got to get four quarters together. I thought we played three good quarters against St Kilda, and you know, we're good in patches against Richmond. I think that second quarter cost us probably the game, so we'll tidy up a few things, but no alarm bells yet.
Well, you got to come back in maybe this week or before round one.
Yeah, I think you'll see see Aaron Young back in this week.
What's he had wrong with him?
He just had a bit of a bruised rib. So he'll be back in this week. Broadbent won't be far away with a hammy.
So he can come back in for Pittard. That'll cover that.
Pittard. Robbie Gray will play a full game this week.
Played a half last week.
Only played a half, which is obviously going to be good to get back him back in and have a full run. Other than that, we've probably just got a couple that are a few weeks away. Obviously, Jasper Pittard doing his hammy isn't ideal, but these things happen.
What about the positional changes? And Kenny's been quite open about this. He no secrets. He said that you're going to go forward. He said Chad Wingard into the midfield. He's mentioned a couple of things like that. Is that all working okay?
You probably haven't seen it enough. I don't think our footy's probably showed off what the changes have done. I think we've got to be able to play our style of footy, and we haven't done that in the first two rounds. We've played pretty stock standard, boring footy down the line, and that's something that we're looking forward to changing and mixing up. I think the conditions really didn't help what we were trying to do on the weekend. So hopefully this weekend, it is no longer, but hopefully we can get some better weather. It might be a bit calmer down there, and we're able to move the ball, and then you will see the positional changes. Hopefully.
But will you be forward? Will it be, say, you and Charlie Dixon in tandem and Ryder in the ruck? Is that what's going to happen?
I think so. I think, I think I'll be playing a little bit more up forward. Obviously, can go down back whenever needed. So I think it's going to be a little bit of suck and see at this stage. But, I think I'll be playing a bit more ruck than what I have in previous years, apart from, obviously, last year when I did most of it.
Mm. I reckon that's a good idea. I reckon that's a good position for you. Last year, you were unbelievable last year. How hard was it to do what you did last year and just allow yourself to talk about yourself in a positive
talk yourself
way?
Up a bit,
no, it's a bloody tough position, especially when you're your size and you are a big boy, but the ruckmen are huge in the AFL these days. How bruised and battered were you, like, after, say, a month into it?
Yeah, I think, Rue, the first couple of weeks were pretty tough. I mean, I sort of wasn't training much in the first couple of weeks after your play. I was basically playing and then just recovering, because you do go from playing on big blokes to
so
massive.
So how tall are you? How many centimetres?
I'm 197.
And most of the blokes now have got a 2 in front of them. I don't know, and some of them are 2'10", 2'11", so you're 4, 5, 6 inches shorter.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's probably the difference. They're probably, I'm weighing at about 97, 98 kilos there. Most of them blokes are over 100, 105. So yeah. There is a fair difference. I think after the first couple of weeks, my body sort of got used to what I was doing. And I really enjoyed the run around, the competitiveness of playing in the ruck.
But the beauty of you, as it's hard for you to talk about yourself, but when the ball hit the deck, your ability to win the ball at ground level, you're an on-baller. It was amazing. And if you take that into the forward line, if you're able to fight for the ball, which I know you will, at ground level in the forward line, that could be magnificent for the side.
Yeah, I think that's what we're hoping. I mean, I think me and Ken had plenty of banter last year. He said I was the worst conversion tap ruckman, so I was not getting much out of the ruck. And then I just kept saying, yeah, but my clearances are through the roof, mate. What more do you want me to do?
Exactly.
So me and Ken had a fair bit of banter about that. It's probably just that mindset that changes a little bit from having a ruckman that's dominating to someone that we're probably not going to win the hit. Your midfield seem to mind changes a little bit to we've got to be a little bit more defensive and a little bit more off body. So that mindset, we've got to try and get into install that into the mids to play when Paddy is in there and he is winning a lot of hit outs, to still be that off body and a little bit more defensive, which is what we're working on.
All right. More with Jackson Trengove in just a moment. And Roo, there's a bit of a story that he's actually the biggest pest around the club. We're going to find out more about this in just a moment. Jackson Trengove joins us thanks to Comwire IT.
On Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, he's meant to be a ruckman last year. Roo became the best clearance player in the club.
Oh, mate, Mr. Versatile.
Yes, unbelievable. Now, yesterday, Jacko, we had your opposite number in Tex Walker in here. And we found out a little bit about Tex, what's coming up with Tex. Yeah.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Tex moved to us that he's off to the Adele concert.
Oh, what sort of leader is he?
Yeah, no one from Port would be going to the Adele concert, would they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, mate. No. I mean, my missus is trying to rope me into to getting along, but
what do you mean?
Well,
what do you mean trying?
Well, I think I'm going, lads. I think.
No! What do you mean?
I'm in a bit of strife.
No,
we're doing a team thing at Adele this week. We're all going to get along. My partner's wrote me in over Christmas just saying I'll just get a couple of tickets. And I thought that's my easy way out of buying a Christmas present, and agreed.
So you actually bought the tickets?
I paid for them, Rue. I didn't go and purchase them, but it did come out of my money.
The longer we dig, the deeper we dig here, the more I think we're finding out that you actually quite like
it. I'm an avid fan. I'll have her T-shirt on. I'll be there singing along.
How with Guns N' Roses in with Adele? Get rid of the black T-shirt.
Gee whiz!
Wow, that's fair enough.
No, I reckon she'll be very good. Anything's good at Adelaide Oval, and I think 60,000 fans there will be.
Yeah, they agree with 60,000 people, so that's good.
Now, words filtered through that you're a bit of a pest around the club. I don't know. This is up there with WikiLeaks, Rue. But apparently, if you leave your computer on or your phone anywhere around, Jackson pounces. What can you tell us about that?
We lost a couple of really good pests with Kane Corns and Dom Cassisi. I think those two were up there with the best. I think when they were together, they were normally fighting against one another, but when they were together, they were unbelievable. So
really,
I took over a little role of just playing a little bit of a pest. I sort of, if anyone sort of leaves their computer open or phone, you can actually use Siri to get into there and change their Facebook statuses. So
right.
I did get on Michael Wilson's computer, who's the physio at the club now, obviously a hard nut club champion, and our property steward, who all property stewards through
very
are pretty,
tight,
pretty tight, and
very tight.
He said you've only getting three hats and two t-shirts for the year to Will, but I've replied quite sternly saying any chance of getting us some. More gear
coming from Wilbur. This is
coming from Wilbur, and Wilbur's the nicest bloke you'll ever meet. He's plot really nice. And next minute, I've just sort of taken a back seat. Wilbur's come back into his office. Next minute, the property steward Dave's come flying in. Just give him Wilbur an absolute mouthful, and Wilbur's just sat there and just copped it. And then he's looking around. He sees me smiling at the corner, and off I go. But done a couple with the physios and Ken as well, where I said, we might need to look at a game change. And
hang on, so the physio telling Kenny
physio
to change the game plan.
Yeah, after a bad loss
last year. I've sent it down.
Look at our game plan's just not working. We need a plan B.
I said, urgent message, Ken. Please come down and see me about the game plan. Kenny's come down and thought, what's going on, mate? Like, what's your issue? And
he's copping enough from Michelangelo Rucci and from Dix.
Yeah, he doesn't need it.
Next minute, I'm in the corner just smiling and shake the head, and off he goes again.
That's the sort of gold you need around a footy club, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's plenty of it. You see a lot of stuff, and it's all good fun. That's why we play footy. That's why you hang out with your mates.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, good work.
Right,
on
now, Rue, just check your computer and your phone before he leaves the studio.
Siri,
right?
Don't listen to Jackson.
As soon as I walk in, the physios just shut their computers down and lock the password. So it's all changed.
Well, good luck down at Windy Hill. I'm in Noarlunga this weekend.
The drive-in.
The drive-in, and hopefully Port can get into a bit of form up against Hawthorn, but be a good way to finish off a pre-season with a win, and look forward to round one and a big year for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Yeah, really looking forward to getting down to Noarlunga, and obviously just building on that form and look forward to a great season from Port Adelaide.
Jacko, we're looking forward to having a big year with you in here as well. So you're going to join us each and every week. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Looking forward to it
Good
as well.
Good on you, mate.
See you, Jacko.
He joins us thanks to Comwire IT, Complete IT Support and Cloud Solutions Business, Jackson Trengove.
Ruin dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
21 degrees, and it's a cracking morning out there at the moment. It'll be 34 today. Rue, it's a great day. It's International Women's Day.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't know how full on this was. I didn't really realise that it had been going for well over 100 years, Dits.
Mm. Started in 1909, amazingly. I must admit, I thought it was just a recent thing. So that's how uneducated I am.
Do we have an International Men's Day?
Yes, there is. In November, I think it is. But March 8th,
kept quiet,
every year, it's International Women's Day. People have taken this to the nth degree.
There's a segue.
Mel Anderson, our button pusher.
Morning.
Hello.
Mel the button pusher. You only talk when you get spoken to, okay?
I would have thought, honestly, you guys could have been doing this today.
So it's Men's Day every day, is it?
Yeah.
We tried that. But
that's the whole point.
Dits butchered it for 2 years, yeah. And we had to get someone else in.
That's why we need you to run steer the ship.
Come in, get paid just to do it.
Rue, you've got some stats in front of you that these are probably the saddest reasons why we need to recognise today.
I still can't believe this. The gender pay gap has hovered between 15% and 19% for the last two decades. Right now, they're saying it sits at about 16%. I'm staggered by that.
Mel, do you know amongst your friends that women are suffering like that as far as the pay gap goes?
Yeah, definitely, because there's much more complicated than this, but for these purposes right now. I think there's two sort of main reasons for the pay gap, and it's one that the women, the work women tend to do as a majority is valued less, so childcare or health or other sort of care work.
But isn't the pay gap to do with the, talking about the exact same job?
The equivalent job?
It's both. So there's a gap. No, it is. It's both. So it is the fact that women are doing jobs that are lower paid, generally speaking. They're taking that work, majority done by
That's
females.
That's not an apples for apples comparison.
Yeah, but no, but also an apples for apples comparison when you're looking at male and female CEOs, they're still getting paid a lot less.
Is that right?
So it is out and out discrimination in that regard.
Yeah, right. that's thanks.
Okay.
Just other things that have come up, that women don't feel safe in society, that women's are the ones that have to sacrifice their jobs for children. But the biggest one would out there would be domestic violence, still a very highly relevant issue, probably more so than ever before, really. It's starting to come out a lot more. Still, on average, one woman a week is killed by a partner or former partner in Australia. One in three Australian women have experienced physical violence since they turned 15, so one in three, that's hard to believe. One in five have experienced sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
One in four has experienced physical or sexual violence with an intimate partner.
So someone they're actually close to.
That's right. So, that's not good.
Okay, so. It's
terrible stats.
Domestic violence, Mel, terrible, shocking situation.
I'm
glad we can highlight those things on a day like today. What about something different? What about things like quotas in the workforce? And we hear about this in politics all the time where it's been said over time, we must have quotas to get the number of women up in politics. Does that help the women's cause, do you think? Or do women need to get there on their own merit?
I think there's a lot of men and women who say that, you know, it just should be the best person for the job. And of course that needs to come into it. But there is a little, and I know it sounds a bit cliche, but there is a saying I really like, and it's, you can't be what you can't see. So for young girls, if they don't see women in roles of power as CEOs or on boards or in politics and that sort of thing, they actually don't think it's a reality or it's something that they should be striving for.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps to start with, we need to be forcing people into those roles, women into those roles, in those quotas, so that little girls aspire to that and actually just see it as an absolute reality and that they don't have to aim middle of the road or low. Mm. They aim for the top, as we should.
Or they don't have to create history by being the first one to do it. So
exactly,
they can
pave
see
the
people
way.
Do it. Yeah.
Rue, your oldest child is Sophie, beautiful Sophie, who's now she 10 now.
10, yeah.
As a dad, well, I don't know, I would have thought that you'd be a far different dad now to what our parents were back in the 60s and 70s as to what she can achieve and what she can do with her life. And already the question of football has come up, for example.
Football was a funny one, when Mel was just explaining you can't be what you can't see, I think that's what it was. The football thing's a classic one for that. I mean, I said you're not doing it because it's a dead-end path for you 2 years ago. Now there is a path because we're seeing all these girls out there and what they can achieve and the doors that can open up for them. So I'm happy for that because it's a... Because there is a pathway, so that's a good example of that one. It's a good saying.
Yeah. And your
whack
daughter,
it on a poster.
Sorry,
on I go,
whack it up on a poster.
With a picture of Erin Phillips on it.
Yeah,
why not?
But your daughter now can come to you at the end of year 12 and basically say, like, she can do anything. I would hope and think in this day and age, whatever university course it is she wants to pursue or whatever job it is. I mean, you can now be a fiery. You couldn't do that years ago as a woman. So. Hopefully we're coming a long way. And I guess today, Mel, is a day when we can recognise those types of things.
Exactly right. And you've got women as well, I mean, you know, who perhaps have children and they might have had a stellar career and it gets put on hold. And women do tend to, you know, put their foot on the brakes a lot for family reasons, a lot of unpaid care work that also sort of puts them on the back burner a little bit when it comes to pay and super and being able to support themselves.
Mm.
So that's another one.
The domestic violence one staggers me every time I see it, the stats on that. I guess unless you've grown up in that environment or you've been unlucky enough to be close to a friend or, you know, best friend or brother or sister or whatever that's been involved in it, you don't get a real appreciation of how much of an issue it is, Dits. But when we've spoke to police about, you know, we've had them on here about the ICE issue and stuff like that, they always say that the biggest thing still is domestic violence, isn't it?
Mm.
So all right. We all need to work on that one.
We do. So there it is, International Women's Day, a day of empowerment for all of the women out there.
Right on, get me a coffee.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7
Triple M.
Aru, credit cards. Yeah. Australians, I would have thought, by and large, we just get ripped off. Well, we pay too much.
You'd be surprised to know that banks haven't been passing on all the rate cuts for about the last 5 or 6 years, Dits, especially for Visa cards. You see interest rates of 15%, maybe 13%, up around that sort of neck of the woods. But there are some new cards coming out at 9.9 or even 8.99 at the moment. And yeah, so you should shop around if you use your Visa card and tend to have a bit of a debt sometimes because of necessity.
Let's find out more about the credit card industry. Tom Godfrey is from Choice Magazine. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good to be with you.
Ru's just mentioned some interest rates of 9.9. Is that the best around?
Yeah, 8.99, Community First, McGrath, Pink, Visa. Money goes to charity, and it's the best interest rate in the market at the moment. So if you're carrying a balance forward, so you're not paying your card off each month, which means you're paying interest, the only thing that matters is the interest rate you're paying. And right now, if you're with one of the big four banks, you're getting ripped off. They are taking you for a ride. You're being fleeced. Can't make it any clearer. You are paying too much.
Darling, we understand, yeah. So with someone like the McGrath Foundation, their credit card, how do they do that? They obviously have to go to one of the big banks and do a deal, don't they?
Yeah, they need to go to an institution who can provide the facility. But, I mean, the fact is that if they can do it, then surely the biggest, most powerful businesses in the country could be doing it as well. And the point is that interest rates, official interest rates, are at historic lows. They've fallen more than 3% since 2011. But credit card interest rates, their average credit card interest rate is still up at around 17%. It basically hasn't moved.
Wow.
We think it's a bit of a joke. So, look, if you've got a credit card with one of the big four banks, move your money, particularly if you're carrying that balance forward.
I read an interesting article yesterday. Just a young girl in her mid-20s got into a bit of trouble, had a debt of about 15, 20,000 or whatever. She actually went and saw her bank and said, "Can you help me? I can't reduce my debt." And they did help her. They actually gave her, put her in a position where she didn't have to pay interest for 6 months. She made the decision to be able to do everything she possibly could to pay it off, and she ended up paying it off. So if you do actually go and speak to your bank, sometimes they will actually help you out, which is sounds
a bit
odd.
That is a great story. Look, it's really encouraging to hear that, because often what you get from banks when you're starting to hit your limit or overpay is the opportunity to increase the amount of money that you're borrowing. And I stress to everyone, if you are getting debt racking up and you're getting multiple credit cards, you need to get in front of it like that girl has done. There is a service you can call if you're really in strife, free financial counselling service, 1-800-007-007. Whatever you do, if you're racking up debt, don't consider a payday lender, because you'll just get into more trouble. So just be wary. If you're not paying it off each month, its interest rate is the only thing that matters. And if you're getting in strife, 1-800-007-007.
Tom, just finally, what about when I see ads that say, if you switch your balance now, bring your balance over to our credit card now, 0% for 12 months. Are there any catches with that? I mean, is that actually true?
Yeah, look, it is true, but there's a caveat. And the caveat is that if you don't then pay it off as expected each month, and you don't meet the repayments as required over the course of the deal, the reversion rate, so the reverting interest rate, is around 19, 20%. Now, that is a hell of an expensive way to manage your life. So, look, by all means, if you can take the advantage of that opportunity and make sure you make the repayments on time, it's fine. But, you know, if you don't pay it off, you just might find yourself in a bigger problem.
Good on you, Tom. Thanks so much. Tom Godfrey from Choice Magazine, Roo. But from what we can gather, rates are coming down then.
Yeah, they are coming down, getting a bit more competitive.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.